I'd like you one more time. We did it just a second ago, but they are worth another show of appreciation, and that is for all of the music team, hour upon hour upon hour upon hour, getting ready for this weekend and doing what they're doing this weekend, leading us into the presence of God. Give them a great momentum hand. Come on, everybody. And then I think it would be good, too, to give a big appreciation and a hand clap to some folks who are a little bit behind the scenes, but without them, our services would be very, very different. And that is the great audio-visual tech people in the back. Thank you to all of the people who make what they do possible. It's cool to be with you. Thank you for your hard work. And thank you all for being here this weekend. It's been a great couple of days already. I want to say thank you to those that have spoke before me. Great to hear from Pastor Tim. What a message last night. Such a clear message. I texted him afterwards. I said, I so appreciate his wonderful ability, God-given ability, to speak clearly and to speak to every place of faith, whether it's new or a veteran young person of faith. I so appreciate that. And then today to hear one of my favorite people from speaking, teaching the Bible, Will Carlton. What a great message today to hear from him. Looking forward to Pastor Austin tomorrow. Thank you for all your hard work, all of the folks who have spoken already and will tomorrow. And then all of our pastors from our churches. Would you give all of our pastors and elders a big hand? Appreciate you very much. I'm really glad to be with you. I talked to my wife today. She said, how's it going? I said, it's going awesome. Great to be in the presence of the Lord with you. Thanks for the invitation to come and be a part tonight. I'm going to be reading from the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. If you have a copy of the Bible or a device, you can meet me there. It's also going to be on the screen, and you can look there as well. We're going to read through verses 12 through and including 24, and then we're going to pray, and after we pray, we're going to lean into those verses, and we're to trust the Lord is going to help us tonight understand his word. So glad to be able to do it with you tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 12. The writer is the Apostle Paul. He is writing to the Thessalonian church in Greece. If you know where Greece is in the world, that's where he's writing to. He says this, "We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you." Is that coming through okay? Is it popping a little bit? Having a hard time hearing that. Say that real loud. I can't hear you.
It sounds like a Zoom meeting.
Zoom meeting. Okay. Well, we're familiar with that, right? So we ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Verse number 13. And to esteem them very highly in love because of their work, and then be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Verse 16, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Don't quench the spirit, do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Verse 23, last two verses. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Final verse, verse 24. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. The big idea I want you to walk away with tonight and carry with you into the rest of this weekend and beyond is this concept. Let's do things today that God's told us to do and then get up tomorrow and do them again. We're going to talk a little bit about that from this passage. And I invite you just to pray with me now for the preached word. Would you do that with me? Just bow your head with me. Father, thank you for the privilege of coming together. I'm so grateful, Lord, for all of us that are here in this room, Lord. You've brought us from lots of different places, different churches, lots of families. Thank you for what we've experienced already and still will experience tomorrow before we go back into our life. Thank you for leaders that help us have something like momentum. It really is cool, Lord. Thank you for that. Lord, thank you for those who have preached your word this weekend. I pray, Lord, as I add my voice to that, that you would help me bless the presenting of the word tonight, bless the receiving of the word tonight, and Lord, let everything that happens point us toward Jesus Christ, the Savior of our soul, and the one who completes the work that he's begun in us. Thank you for doing that. Point everyone here toward Jesus Christ. Thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have you ever had a moment in your life when it seems like time stood still? Has that ever happened to you? Maybe it's because of something really exciting that happens, and the moment it happens, how you felt in that moment is etched, embedded, implanted in your long-term memory. And even now, when you think about that exciting thing happen, it was as if in that moment, time just stopped and you were fully present with that exciting moment. Maybe it was a Valentine's Day in fourth grade when Amy Jensen dropped a Valentine into my paper bag that was taped to the back of my seat. And I read it, and it ended with two words: love, Amy. I gotta tell you, angels sang, fireworks exploded, and time stood still when Amy Jensen declared her love for me in fourth grade. But then there are other times, though, it's not exciting, it's just weird. And when those times happen, they too can make time seem like it just stops and stands still. And maybe you can think of times in your life when something weird or strange happened. And when it did, it just kind of froze you and you just remember it like it was yesterday. You might have been preaching at a youth camp in Oklahoma like I was one year. I was the day speaker. During the day, I spoke and taught from the Bible. There was a night speaker, a good friend of mine. He was speaking at night, and I was at the final night service. And in that context where we were, we sat on the platform during the service, the day speaker and the night speaker. And night speaker got up, and he preached. And at the end of the service, he did what sometimes we do at Momentum. He invited those who would like to commit their life to Jesus to just stand in the front and to pray together, and just kind of one of those services. And it was the final night of that youth camp. And I remember the kids came from all over the sanctuary and the tabernacle, and they filled the altar area here. And it was just lots of kids, hundreds and hundreds of kids. And it was exciting. It was wonderful. It was fun. It was powerful. And then I'll never forget, well into that end of service, but the kids were still praying, I was standing about here on the platform, and I looked out at some of the kids in this section right here, and I saw a girl standing off the platform on the floor, and she looked at me as I kind of looked over her way, and she went, and I did what you would do if you were me. I went, she went, and so I realized she was wanting me to come and talk to her. So I walked up to the edge of the platform, and I'm expecting her to say, you know, hey, I need prayer. Would you pray for me? My friend needs prayer. Would you pray for our group? Had a little gaggle of girls there praying together. And I kind of just expected that. So I just kind of went to the top step, and I just leaned down like this, and I said, what can I help you with? And I'll never forget what happened next. As I leaned down to hear what she was going to say to me, this 14 or 15 year old girl grabbed my head and she kissed me on this cheek. And I'm thinking, what just happened? Time stood still. Explode, not sing. Fireworks did not explode, but time stood still. And I was so flabbergasted. That was not on the suggested multiple choice of what could happen. I didn't expect for a teenager to kiss me. And the only thing that could come out of my mouth, I don't know why I said this, I said, "Where are you from?" I didn't even think about it. It just came out. And in that moment, time stopped. All these years later, I'm still, as you can tell, in therapy because time stood still. Maybe you've had occasions like that where something exciting or something weird happened and for a split second, it seemed like everything stopped. Sometimes time does seem to stand still, but trust me when I say, everyone, listen carefully, when I say this, this is going to sound like an old person talking, and I am an old person talking, but let me tell you something. Time standing still is the exception, not the rule. As you grow older, and all of us will and do, you will, all the back old people, you know what I'm talking about. Time goes by so fast. It may seem slow now, and algebra may seem like it'll never get over, but believe me, there's coming a day when you're gonna look back at your life and you're gonna say, where did the time go? Sometimes it seems to stand still, but most of the time, it seems like life flies by. I was thinking about this the other day, and I'm gonna prove it to you. I want to show you the picture of me and my dad. Here's a picture of me and my dad. Now, your guess is as good as mine on which one I am. I think I'm the happy one, I'm pretty sure. I don't know. One of those is Tim. And one of those is Todd. That's my dad, Jim. That's the earliest picture I have of me and my dad. But fast forward about 7 or 8 years. This is another picture of me and my dad. I was about 8, maybe, I guess. Maybe 9, I'm not sure. My brother and I both played for the Dodgers, Little League team. I do know which one I am. I'm the guy, the towering one on the right. And that's my brother Tim in the red shirt, and that's my daddy, Jim. Fast forward to when I was 18 years old. This is me and my dad. This was May 2nd, 1992. I was graduating as an 18-year-old from, or 22-year-old rather, I'm sorry, 22-year-old. I was graduating from Washington University in St. Louis, and this was graduation day, May 2nd, 1992. And then I think I have one more, Dave, right? I think I got one more. This is me and my dad. This was back probably 10 years ago, maybe 2015 or so. I was early Ford time bouts, and me and my dad and my rest of my family, we went out on a lake and spent a big time being together as a family, and someone snapped that picture. It's one of my favorite pictures of my dad. Now, I say that because I remember every, except for the first one, I remember all of those pictures specifically. I remember when I took the Dodger picture. I really do. I definitely remember graduating college and posing with my dad. And I definitely remember that picture. And every single one of those seems like, I know it wasn't, but it seems like it was just yesterday because time goes by so quickly in life. I think when we look at a book called 1 Thessalonians. We're looking at a book in the New Testament written by a man named Paul. And Paul wrote this book as one of the first books he wrote that we call his books in the New Testament. Of all of the books he wrote, and he wrote a bunch of them, 1 Thessalonians is one of the first ones that he wrote. And not only is it one of the first ones he wrote, but if you look at 1 Thessalonians and you understand a little bit about the audience that he was writing to, you realize that they understood something about time. In fact, the last chapter, chapter 5 that we read just a moment ago from, the start of that chapter, this is what the apostle says. You'll see it on the screen. He said, "Now concerning the times and seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you." Verse 2, "For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night." Todd, what's he talking about? He's talking about the fact that Paul believed, the Thessalonians agreed, and I want to remind you today that one day Jesus is coming back. There is going to come a day when the one that we sing about, the one that I talk about, the one that Pastor Tim talked about and Will talked about and Pastor, one that we pray to, there is, and Pastor Rick and everyone that leads us talks about, the one that we pray to, there is coming a day when he will come back. Praise God. And we will see him, literally see him. And Paul is reminding them that the day of the Lord, when Jesus returns, it's going to happen. He said to this audience, "You're fully aware of that. I know you know that. That's coming in the future. You can anticipate that." But then look at verse 5. He says, "For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then, let us not sleep." That's not talking about what few of us did very little of last night. That's talking about being lazy in our spiritual life. He says, let's not be that way as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober, for God has not destined us to wrath. Here's a great picture of the gospel, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus absorbed the wrath that was supposed to come our way. And he gave to us his only son, Jesus Christ, who took on that sinfulness for our benefit. Paul showed the Thessalonian church that there was coming a day when Jesus himself was going to return. And so in that moment of waiting, he then pivots and begins to explain to them, and I think history brings it down to us today, of what they can do while they're waiting for that day of the Lord. And I want to suggest to you our character about starting in verse 12, going almost all the way through the rest of the chapter, our characteristics. It's the what of living all in. Listen, everybody, it's one thing to say as a man, I want to live all in, but the question remains, what does that look like? Practically speaking, what do I do so when I do it, I will then be categorized as all in? I think Paul gives us a few things. I want you to catch him with your heart and your mind. Verse number 12, he said, while you're waiting for that day of the Lord, we ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, verse 13, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. What's the first thing we can do that is the what of living all in? We can respect those who lead us. That doesn't sound real glamorous, but that honors God. And people who do that are living an all-in life. Let me just make it real plain. Those of you that are here tonight and you are a pastor of one of the churches, you are a staff member of one of those churches, you are a youth ministry leader of some sort in those churches, you're a Sunday school teacher, Grace Kids, whatever the case may be. If that's you, very quickly, I want you, without hesitation, everybody stand up if that's you. Everybody keep standing. To everyone who's seated right now, listen to me. How do we live all in? What does that look like? It begins with giving respect and esteeming highly the people who lead us. So when they teach us, we give them our attention, we give them our energy, we respect what they're doing because men and women that are teaching us are God's gift to us. It doesn't mean they glow in the dark. They're just like you and me, but they've given themselves to teach us. Would you together with me, this goes far beyond one moment in a service, but would you together with me show a little respect to those who lead us? You may be seated. All in, what is it? It's respecting those who lead us. Verse 14, there's a second thing we can be doing, and that is to help those around us. We urge you, brothers, verse 14, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. That sounds like a list of things that leaders should tell us to do. Listen, Paul said, you among yourselves, bring up the faint-hearted. You among yourselves, be people who admonish those that are idle, encourage those, help the weak, be patient with them all. So how do we live an all-in life? What does that look like? It's respecting those who lead us, but it's also helping those around us. And so if you see a friend, and she's out of sorts, she doesn't feel good, you can tell it just by the way she's not acting or acting. Let's be about the business of living all in by encouraging that person, coming alongside them, encouraging the faint-hearted. If someone is going a direction they ought not go, in love, not in being ignorant about it, but in love, admonish them. Listen, we're not going to do that. We're going to live a different way, consecrated to Christ. We help those around us. By doing that, we are observing the what? Of living all in. Verse 16, another thing we can do is to choose joy. Rejoice always. Choose joy. Not everything has to be going right, but you make a choice. I choose joy. I come to church, I'm tired. It's been a long week at school. Extracurricular stuff kept me busy. My job, my boss says this and that, and my boyfriend or girlfriend, they says this or that. I broke up with someone. I don't have a job I like. In the midst of all of that, an all-in young person or adult, we choose joy always. Verse 17, we communicate with God and be thankful. You see it in verse 17, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I want to have another group stand, and if you're here today and you were a part at any point of the kneel gathering at 7, would you stand, please? I heard from Pastor Chuck from Grace. He said, Todd, it was amazing to see young people in a room off the cafeteria at 7:00 in the morning. You're early bird prey people. That's awesome. Do you want to know what an all-in Christian looks like? It's the people who are standing right now. Why? Because Paul said, pray without ceasing. I'm going to respect my leaders. I'm going to choose joy. I'm going to get up after 15 minutes of sleep all night long, and I'm going to bow my knee and communicate with God. That's what all-in people do. You may be seated. Verse 19. We can also look for what God is doing. It's an interesting couple of scriptures. Verse 19 says, don't quench the spirit. Verse 20 says, don't despise prophecies. Another word for that is be discerning of what God's doing. be aware and look for what God is doing. He may not always do it the way we think he'll do it, but be aware of that. Have your antenna up to what God is doing in your church, in your youth group. Look and be aware and ask God, God, make me aware of what you're doing. Hold on to that. Look for what God is doing. Verse 21, another thing we can do is figure out what's good and hold on to it. If we read the scriptures and we think, man, that's good, hold on to that. If someone gives a good testimony in your youth group, tell them you appreciate that and hold on to that. Paul said, hold on, hold fast. Not only that, test the reading thing. Be about the business of looking and seeing and making sure what you're reading and hearing and seeing is of God. Maybe you've heard your pastor. I'm sure you probably have because I know the caliber of churches that are a part of Momentum. So I'll say something probably they've said before. But if you've never heard a pastor say this, I'll say it for the first time for you. When you hear something preached at Momentum, one of the best things you can do is after you go home, open up your Bible, open up your notebook that you've been taking notes with, open up your Bible, read again what those verses say, and ask God, God, would you confirm what that man said? Because that's being faithful. There is not a man of God, a woman of God, who can communicate in faith would ever take offense at that, because we want you to test what's given. To believe it with your heart because it's gotten personal to you. And finally, verse 22, reject what's not good. That's pretty simple, right? Paul said it this way, abstain from every form of evil. Now, Todd, why mention those seven things? Well, for one thing, it gives us some hooks to hold on to for when we leave here this weekend so we can look and measure our life and see what our life is producing on a regular basis. Are we respecting our leaders? Let's be about that. Are we communicating with God and being thankful? Let's be about that. Are we figuring out what's good and holding on to it? Let's do that. Are we rejecting what's not good? Let's make sure we're doing that. But why have those things? Why would Paul even mention those things? Why even share that with you at Momentum? Because it's not just about being all in and what that looks like, but it is when we do these things. And I want you to catch this. If there's nothing else you catch tonight in this message, please hear this. Every one of these things, we can do them today. We don't have to wait until the weekend's over. Today, you can encourage one another. Today, you can communicate with God. Today, you can show respect for your leaders. Today, you can figure out what's good and hold on to that. Today, you can reject what's not good. If we're going to live an all-in life, how do we live an all-in life? We didn't do those things, but we do those things today. Now, I've been thinking about this literally the last 2 days. And I don't know how to express this, but I know that we bring into Momentum things that really are important to us, things that we want to have happen in our life. You've heard this perhaps preached before, but I just want to reinforce it. Some of us brought to Momentum this week stuff in our family that we really want to be different. We brought stuff about our future that seems so unknown. And if we're honest, we're being filled with anxiety about it because we want to know. We want to live an all-in life, but we want to know. But we don't know it yet. Some, it may sound, have friends in middle school, and it's a big deal. And for some, it may sound kind of childish, but it's not. It's our life. Some of us struggle with how we look, and it's a big deal. And some of us have had stuff happen to us that we have no control over. And it's put something in our inside of who we are that is just so hard to go on because we want to deal with it and move on, but we can't yet. So Todd, what do we do about that? Pray about your future, but don't worry about your future. Because one of the best ways to not worry about your future is to do what pleases God today. What is living an all-in life? An all-in life, your future as an all-in Christian, is made up of 1,000 todays. And so today, you do what you know to do. And you live that way. And you walk with God today. And what you desperately want to know about your future, because it's a big deal, hear me, everyone, it's going to be revealed to you and in you as you live for God today. And then when tomorrow comes today, you get up and you live for God again. The things you don't know yet will be revealed in God's time as you thumbs clear, doing what you do. Good produces confident fullness. Becomes clarity. Repeated good produces confident young people. Repeated trust quiets anxiety. God's will for your life is for you to walk with Him today. And as you walk with Him today, God is going to bring you in a path of living that all-in life. And your future, God is going to work in that and through that. I don't think anyone in here knows what I'm about to say. I wanted to go and be a lawyer. I wanted to go to law school. I graduated high school, college, that picture, May 2nd, 1992. You know what followed that? 7 applications for law school. 7. I think I've talked about this in Momentum before. Law school. I was going to be the next... pick your favorite lawyer. Yeah. That was me. I applied to law school, and guess what? 7 law schools I applied to, I got rejected by all 7. And I said, God, now what? I prayed. I don't mind telling you. I prayed. God, I think this is your will that I go to law school. You want to let me know, God? Will you tell me? Nothing. Didn't hear anything, so I thought, well, I'm going to keep applying. So I applied, 7 law schools, rejected, 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 rejected. And I said, God, what do I do now? I thought, well, I'll go to college out in California, study ministry for a couple years, went out there, met a groovy gal named Brenda. I asked, she said yes. We got married. I got hired as a youth pastor at a church in St. Louis, lived there for 13 years. We got an itch to come out to a weird place called Baltimore. We flew out to Baltimore. We landed here. We planted a church. That church was in existence for 13 years. I had to wind the church down because of health reasons. I walked away from that. I went going looking for a church. I drove down Bel Air Road. I went up into a place called Kingsville. We turned right off of Kingsville into this Grace Community Church parking lot. And 3 years later, I'm on a platform talking to a group of kids. That's my life right there. That's my life right there. You know what's not in my life? God's specific, you're going to Momentum in 2024. And God has a way. You just live for God one day at a time. And God has a way of bringing things to pass. Listen, the will of God for your life is rarely going to be as specific as you want it to be, but that's not the issue. The issue is relationship with the one who saved you. And you say, God, I'm all in. I'm locked in because you saved me. I'm going to walk with you today. And you walk with God today. As you walk with Him, He will bring things and people and opportunities into your life, and you'll end up places you never could have imagined, doing things you never could have dreamed, All because you chose over and over again to live today, giving God the priority in your life. Watch it happen in your life. Look at Matthew chapter 6. I'm hurrying. Matthew 6, verse 25. The scripture says, therefore I tell you, get ready for this quote. Ready? Knock your socks off. Don't be anxious about your life, what you eat, drink, about your body, what you put on. Your body's more than food. Body's more than clothing. Look at the birds of the air. God takes care of them. Why are you anxious about your clothing? If God clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Don't be anxious. What shall we eat, drink, what we should wear? But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Verse 34, therefore, here's the words again, don't be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. So you have on one end, don't be anxious about your life. On the bottom you have, don't be anxious about tomorrow. What are you saying, Pastor Todd? I'm saying live all in today. And when you wake up tomorrow, live all in today. And repeat that over and over again. And watch all those things as they're added into your life. It's about what it looks like. Paul gave us seven things. It's about when. Let's do it today. But then lastly, it's about how that's done. And lest we forget and think it's all about our own effort, our own strength, Paul makes sure we don't get that wrong. Verse 23, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 24, last verse we'll read. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. How do you live all in? God does it through you. You're the vessel. You say yes. You're the one that respects. You're the one that prays. You're the one that admonishes the idol. You're the one that brings those to pass. But it's God's power working through you. Why? Because it's always about God first. God loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him, Christ, should not perish but have eternal life. He provided the answer. It works that way with us living all in too. Worship team, come on. I watched my dad my whole life live his life for God. He got saved when he was 28 years old. And I watched my dad all my growing up years live his life all in for God. My dad wasn't a perfect man. No one is. But my dad loved Jesus. And my dad had a way of doing things that made you just say, yeah, he loves God. He's a good man, but not just a good man. He's a good man that loves his good God. I would watch him when he would sit in the corner of my parents' house, and he had a small little Bible, not much bigger than this, and he would just sit there as an older man, and I watched him, and he would just spend quite a few minutes just reading the Bible. No screens, just actual pages, reading the Bible. I watched him as he would get up on Sunday mornings, and he would get in the car and walk slowly because he was getting older. And I watched him go to church every time he could. Room and to it, I watched him sit in that red recliner in my parents' living room, and they turned on the TV and hooked up their phone and played the church webcast, and there he sat and he worshiped, and they would sing songs and he would lift up his hand and worship God in his living room. They'd get ready to leave on trips, and I'd watch my mom and my dad, and they would pray before they left, and my dad would pray such simple prayers of faith. He would say, God, walk with us, keep us safe. And then he'd always say the same thing at the end of every prayer. He'd say, lead us and guide us as we go on our way. I watched that for so many years. I was with my dad in July last year. This is a picture of us. That's at their house. Gosh, I love my daddy so much. And time goes on. This is the last picture I have with my dad. This was October of last year, right before they were getting ready for Christmas. The reason I wanted to show you that picture, because the picture of my dad holding us to that picture went like this. Why should we live an all-in life? Because, young people, Jesus is coming. And our life is going to go like that. So why not live all in? Why not live today doing what God's told us to do? And then tomorrow get up and do it again. And as we do that, guess what's going to happen? Those things that are so important to you, and I know they are, God's going to work in those things. I don't know how they're all going to turn out, but years from now, I know it seems odd to hear someone say that, but years from now, you're going to be able to look back and you're going to see the benefit of having, yes, in life. Are you going to make mistakes? Yes. Did my father make mistakes? Yes. But live today all in, because God deserves that. Those leaders that stood a moment ago, would you stand with me, those leaders, just the leaders that you stood a moment ago, the churches, pastors, staff members? I'm going to ask you to do something with me, please. Some of you can do it here in the front. Not many of you can, but a few. Majority of you probably will have to go up the stairs, just make the line up the stairs and over here as well, please. And just position yourselves facing all of us, please. And just go ahead and move and just stand either up here on the sides, either side. You can even have some in the back, that's fine, but space yourself out so you're not right next to everybody. June 26, 1983, I was sitting in my home church right about here. My pastor had preached a message. As a 13-year-old boy, I felt the Lord prompting me to jump in. I was nervous. It was ahead of me. I remember grabbing the back of the pew that was ahead of me, a long pew, and I gripped it real hard. Because I knew what I was feeling was God. I had been raised in church by my parents. But as a 13-year-old boy, God was speaking to me in a way that I could understand. And I grabbed a hold of that pew in front of me. my pastor was finishing his message. And he said, if there's anyone who wants to live for God, I'm going to meet you here in the front, and I want you to come and pray with me. And I felt my brother, the guy in those pictures, my twin, I felt his hand on my shoulder. And I heard him say in my ear, let's go up. And so we got out of our pew and we walked up. And I stood in the front of our church. And my brother stood in the front of our church. And we declared our faith in Jesus. That we believe what he provided for us is for us. And on June 26, 1983, time stood still. But you know what was so special about that? It wasn't just that happening, as wonderful as that was, but it was my brother who helped me go all in. He cared enough to say, come on. Because isn't that what Paul said? Admonish the faint-hearted. Pick them up. Encourage them. And so my brother did that. In a moment, our leader, for those of you, I would love, for those of you who understand the Lord is coming back, life is fast. Today's the best day to live all in. And you want to do that. You want to do something of those seven things, and something pricked your heart about one of those things, and you're willing to say, I'm going to grab a hold of that one, and I'm going to put that into action. And what's more than that, I'm going to, next to me, my friend next to me, I'm going to spend a moment before we get up, I'm going to spend a moment and talk to them, and together, I'm going to bring them with me. And we're going to approach one of these leaders and we're going to say, would you please pray blessing over us? Because we're going to commit again that God would help us to do what he's called us to do. And we're going to do it today. I want you to bow your heads with me, everybody. Your eyes are closed. All I'm doing is asking you to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit who is among us. There's nothing about this that is, I want to be worked up, nothing manipulated. All I'm doing is asking you to be prompted by the Holy Spirit. If he's speaking to your heart and you're willing to say yes, one of those things, I'm going to do that because I want my life to be all in today. I've got concerns. I know Jesus is coming back. I'm going to take your word that life's going to go by fast. But right now, the most important thing I can do is to say, yes, I'm going all in for the rest of today. And tomorrow, I'm going to do it again. And you are going to work through that commitment, God, and help me with all the other stuff. Let's pray. Lord, please draw us. Please help us not to be afraid. God, help us to take a step of faith to trust you with our commitment. Help us to respect those that lead us. Help us to pray without ceasing today. Help us not to quench the Spirit. despise the prophetic, but know what you're doing. Be aware of it. Help us to reject what's evil and wrong. Help us to hold on to what's good. God, whatever one of those things are that have pricked our hearts, help us to make that commitment to do that today. And God, we then invite you to have your way in the rest of our life as we seek you first. And then all those things that are so important to us, you'll work it out for your glory and our good. Thank you, God, as we make that decision and we make that step of faith today. In your name. I'd love for you just now in the next 30 seconds, would you turn to a friend next to you? I want you to share a second of challenge and commitment with them. Would you do that just right now? We're just going to hear probably quiet talking for the next 30 seconds as you do that. That's all right. Don't let that bother you. But talk amongst yourself right now. Share maybe something that God is prompting you about. Would you do that right now? Go ahead and do that. I'm challenging you to go ahead and do that. Our worship team is going to sing a song that's very appropriate. What we're about to do, God is worthy of it all as we go all in. Take that friend by the hand or put a hand on their shoulder. Invite them to go with you. Meet up with some leader around the sanctuary. You may have to go way up in the corner. That's fine. Just go ahead and do that. And I want you to come to an adult that's here around the sanctuary, guys, ladies. I want you to go up to that leader, and I want you just to ask God to help you as they pray a blessing of prayer over you. Would you do that right now? Go ahead and move. If you're feeling that in the Lord, I want you to move. Go ahead and move. Don't let that intimidate you. Don't be afraid. Don't be scared. This is a decision that you're making along with your friends, and you sense it. You know it. Find a young man. Find a young woman next to you. There you go. Thanks, guys. Find a leader who's up here. We're going to sing it all together. Let's sing together. As you moved as a leader, you're worthy of it all. Of it all. From you are all things, to you are all things, you deserve the glory. That's great, guys. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. Sing it again from your heart. God, you see every effort we're making to you. Every commitment we're making, Lord Jesus. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. God, you're worthy of everything. Thank you. hands. Everybody stand together. Let's sing it together. One big voice together. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you you. I'm going to ask every young person, lift up your hand to the Lord. Let's sing it together. Everybody together. Sing it to God. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. Worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You're worthy of it all. And to you are all things. You deserve. One last time. One more time. Everybody singing together, lifting up your voice to Jesus. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. Together, let's give the Lord Jesus a big, great applause.